Reese on the radio, making sense of the news. Yeah, even when it makes no sense at all. Now on WTIC News Talk 1080.
You know, White Mike is in the chat room, and he says, wait, it's hydrilla? He said, that's a huge problem down here. According to reports, Mike, they say that's where it originates from in the United States, at least. He said, that's a huge problem down here. Can't poison it. It sinks to the bottom and it turns to muck. You have to harvest it early. Release manatees and plant eelgrass. So hopefully White Mike will call up later on, since he's in the Florida area. And would probably know a little more about this than anything. He's almost versed in everything. Let me take Rob in New Britain. We had him in the earlier break, but he had to let go. What's going on, Rob?
Lights out! Guerrilla Radio! Turn that Reese up. What's up, buddy?
How you doing?
You know, my wife, good. Good to hear you. Good to hear Rowan, too.
You said your wife was what?
She said this to me. First, they're trying to kill us with the COVID shot. Now they're trying to kill us with the Pyrquat.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I think that no one expected anyone to pick up on this, which was, of course, why the response to it has been so lackluster.
Yeah, it's all over the internet.
Yeah, I know. But it looks like the people who are responding to it are tripping over themselves. So they were not prepared.
Yeah.
They were not prepared, and the news media is not helping it by, you know, as NBC Connecticut did, you know, oh, it's already in the water. I'm like, yeah, that's a cause for concern, not calm.
Yeah, I had to let my coworker know. All he does in his spare time is go fishing, and now he's not going to do it.
Yeah, well, like I said, I'll put it to you this way. Unless something is done about it. But I do believe, Rob, in my heart of hearts, that the response to this, the groundswell of response to this, and because it's not a partisan issue, right? There's no one who's coming back and, like, rooting for DeQuat, right? Nobody's going, you know, it's fine. Everybody who finds out something about it comes back with the same point of view by going, not really a fan. Right. So as people are trying to find a divide in this, you can't. It's this is a unanimous decision given the information everybody's sides on against the DeQuat. So I think that's where we are. Thank you, buddy.
God,
I appreciate
bless you guys.
You,
love you.
You got it. You know what? White Mike is in Florida. I'll do headlines in a minute. Let me get Mike on the line now. I didn't think I'd get him now. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, is that me?
Yeah, I got you. Hey, you're familiar with this plant, hydrilla?
Yeah, there's a place in kind of the west central Florida called Crystal River. A place called Kings Bay. Kings Bay is a natural spring-fed bay that was fantastic and wonderful. One of the greatest places on the planet until hydrilla hit. Hydrilla hit in like 1990.
Okay.
It took that place from being like you would see in National Geographic, sandy bottom and crystal clear water, to muck. You got to get on hydrilla. Hydrilla is a disaster. Unfortunately, the only effective way to get rid of it is to have a herd of manatees, and I don't think manatees are going to make it up in Connecticut.
Without a doubt. So the manatees have actually played a role in getting rid of the hydrilla. Do they eat it? What do they do?
Yeah, manatee eat it. You know, manatee are just giant floating sea cows.
Sure,
they graze stuff. But we had to come in and bring in boats with, like, kind of harvesters on them to get after it. And this stuff is so tough because if any part of it breaks loose, it can create new hydrilla. It grows like crazy.
That's what we learned about, in that, in fact, this plant life is so invasive that the pollinated version, like, in other words, you can get pieces of it flying through the air, ending up in another section of the world, and wherever it lands, it grows there as well. I mean, it's really, it's like a super fungus.
I mean, they got a hold of it down here pretty much, but it was a massive effort, and it was a little easier to contain, I think, because it was in our small rivers and a bay, and it doesn't flourish in salt water. So, you know, the bay is the brackish or whatever between the Gulf and the rivers. So we were able to get it, but it's a constant battle. It cost a ton of money, but we have tourists for that. I mean, there was an economic reason to spend the money and preserve things, because Kings Bay Crystal River is like the home of the manatees, and they bring tens of millions of dollars a year in tourism for people coming to see the manatee and go fishing here. Yeah. I don't know if there's the economic impetus in whatever river you have up there to make them spend the money to do it the long, safe way rather than just dumping a bunch of herbicide on it and hoping for the best.
Now, do you know, are you familiar with this herbicide DQuat? Is it ever like, you know, you ever had any run-ins with it or?
No, they haven't used that kind of stuff here because it's such a ecological treasure. But the problem we had here was rich people, back in the 20s and 30s, they drilled canals here and they built homes and they put up seawalls and all these people planted lawns. And up to like the 90s, these a-holes were spraying their lawns with fertilizer as they sloped off into the canal.
Wow.
So whenever it rained, all of the fertilizer went into the canals, and that helped grow the hydrilla. We have another one down here called Lingba that's a really nasty, slimy, gross little plant. Wow. So I don't know, man. Invasive plants are a disaster. The problem with having hydrilla is it's going to out-compete everything, and it will drain the oxygen out of your waterway. May not be that big a problem in a river, but in a lake, it's a disaster. In a bay, it's a disaster. It could be an ecological disaster if you don't do something about it, and it's going to be a disaster the way they want to do something about it, not just from the purported ecological hazard, and I never put faith in that because it scares the DDT, and DDT only maybe made some bird's eggs then.
Let me just ask you this. Like, as far as a lake is concerned, right, because that's contained. Right? We're not talking about a lake that's going to flow into a river or anything like that. It's a lake. So with that, isn't it easier under those conditions to find the hydrilla and eradicate it as opposed to putting DQuat in the river? Because the river, it's got no escape. It's going to sit there.
Well, yeah, in a lake, you would just weigh the cost. You're like, well, you know, what if we just poison the crap out of this lake? What are we going to lose? You know, you lose whatever's in that lake. But if it's in a lake, you got to kill it because birds and stuff land in the lake and they'll go off with hydrilla on their little claws. Right. Then they go land somewhere else.
Yeah.
So you guys got to do something about it. It's a disaster, but they're doing it the wrong way. A simple Google search would show how they did it in Kings Bay. And it was basically fleets of boats that kind of look like paddle boats, except reversed.
It's like that's what the article said today I was reading, saying they have boats that are designed for this.
Yeah, it's just they're expensive. And, you know, the companies that own them ain't going to sell them to you. You're going to have to hire them.
Right.
So you're going to pay them for the years and years of constant harvesting because they're still doing it here, dude. It's been decades and those boats are still here.
I think it's worth it. I don't think that the nuclear option is the right way to go. And I think people will eat the cost. Not only that, I think Connecticut really dropped the ball because, I mean, I think that the legislature, if not the governor, dropped the ball because this is something they've known about since 2016. And they're deciding to do it now.
Well, the big thing is the way they want to do it is not going to work. That's not how you do it. We tried it here. And we didn't do it because all you did was sink that crap to the bottom and then your entire bottom of your waterway is slimy, dead hydrilla muck and that chokes out everything that lives on the bottom. So it's not going to be any better.
So, I didn't hear that part. I didn't get that from your message in the chat room. You're suggesting that when they use this herbicide, everything just sinks to the bottom. It's not going to remove, like, in other words, it doesn't eradicate it. It doesn't dissolve it in any way.
Right.
It just loosens it and puts it on the floor.
Yeah, it's like spraying Roundup on your weeds, except it's in a wet environment, so it's not going to dry up and desiccate and blow away. It just sinks to the bottom as a carpet of dead hydrilla.
That's ridiculous.
And nothing's going to eat it because you don't have manatees.
Ain't that something? Thank you, Mike. Always, always a breath of fresh air you are.
Yes, sir.
No, but I really appreciate your knowledge on this because, you know, I saw that when the way that you responded in the chat room was like, wait, it's hydrilla? So I appreciate you informing us. Now we know more about this than we ever knew before.
You know, not to pat myself on the back, but I am more than just a hilarious racist. I actually know some stuff.
I applaud you, sir. You are hilarious. Thank you for your help with this. I appreciate you.
No problem, Mike. Man. Have a good one.
Yes, you got it. White Mike, ladies and gentlemen, you like him now, don't you? You like him now. He is, I'm not going to lie. He's funny. Sometimes he's a little bigoted, but he is brilliant. I've known that about him since 2012. I've always known that about him. That's why he's my friend. Let's go to Mike. Michael's in Higginham. Hello, sir.
You know, it's really hard to follow up on White Mike.
It always is, right?
It's funny. I think every time you take a call from him, you're on the edge of your seat to see if he's going to say something.
Are you kidding me? I've got the dump button and the mute button.
So the funny thing about this chemical they want to put in the Connecticut River, so the Connecticut River is one of the biggest rivers where striped bass migrate to in the spring to spawn. And striped bass are a very big sportsman's fish, and I would be terrified to eat one going forward, knowing that they spawned in the Connecticut River and they go back out in Long Island Sound and they travel all the way to the south and all over up to Massachusetts and whatnot. So I really don't think anyone really thought this through really well.
I don't either. I think, and again, the crazy part about this is that no matter who it is who's talking about it, be it the Army Corps of Engineers or even the spokesperson at DEEP, they refuse to address what we know is a fact. And that is, this has been banned in plenty of countries, even one of the countries that still sell it. And there are dozens, if not hundreds of people that we know of who have been poisoned by it. We have a case study in Florida where a guy had a sip of it in a Gatorade bottle and didn't know, and his body almost turned inside out. So
it's
insane. Yeah, it's terrifying. Exactly. What perfect word. It is terrifying. Thank you, Michael. Let's go
You
got it. Let's go to Doc. Doc is good. What's going on, sir?
Hey, my friend, how you doing?
Pretty good. What do you got
Lake the Lake, which is the deepest natural lake in Connecticut, has a problem with, or had a problem with, something called milfoil.
Okay.
The way they got rid of it was harvesting it.
Ah.
And they still do it because it's a nasty plant that just won't die.
Right.
But they harvest it every summer, and it's just part of life up there.
Now, the harvesting of it, what do you do after you harvest it? Is there a way to dispose of it? Do they find other uses for it? What's the deal?
Well, you turn it into compost.
Always. My wife's a big composter. I think a lot of people would like that.
It really, realistically, it breaks down and turns into soil, and it's very rich soil.
You know what? That's a great point. Because in essence, what we're saying here is that if this grows in an exponential way, right? Because the growth of this hydrilla is, I mean, crazy. It doesn't matter. Somebody picks it up, drops it off someplace else, and it grows there. Turning it into compost could be helpful to people who are planters, horticulture, all types of things, right? I can only imagine.
Yeah, exactly. Milfoil is it's a tough plant, and you try to pull it out with your hand, and you could do it, but it's like trying to pull up a dandelion.
Yeah. You know what? Maybe we need to investigate what White Mike was talking about in getting those boats to go through the rivers and the Connecticut River and just scoop it up. I mean, if that's, you know, it's better than the long-term option or the nuclear option, as it's put. The investment, remember, because remember what they're saying. They're saying if we don't get rid of the hydrilla, the long-term effects are going to be quite damaging to the waterways, to the fish, to everything else, right? To property and everything. So maybe, you know, the juice is worth the squeeze if we actually get the people who are who have designed something to get rid of it without hurting or harming people in the long run.
I grew up in Salisbury or Lakeville, actually, but the Housatonic River, I still won't eat the fish out of it because of the PCBs from General Electric up in Pittsfield. So once you do something to the river, it takes so many years to get it clean.
That's right.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking back in the 60s is when they were putting the PCBs in there.
Yeah, I was just somebody just sent me something on that. I was just reading briefly. Yeah,
what are you going to do?
I don't know. Like I said, I'm hopeful that the attention that this is getting, that there's a little bit of pullback, that we might get somebody to reconsider. They don't have to, and there's still the option for people to speak up at this public hearing to get this stopped. And like I said. Yeah, we're going to get something done.
There's got to be a lot of pushback.
Yeah, exactly.
There's got to be a lot of pushback.
Exactly. Thank you, sir. Just to let you know, and a reminder, at about 4:11 or so, we're going to have State Senator Stephen Harding on the program. He's the ranking senator on the Environmental Committee. We'll talk to him in a bit about the letter he sent to DEEP. I know there's been a statement that's been put out. It was part of the package that I was playing earlier. We'll get to that as well. And we'll talk to him in a little more than 40 minutes about that. Last, let's get to Jim in Wellington. Hello, sir.
Yes, sir. I'll tell you what. The Connecticut River. Anybody happen to think or do you know? Did they even consider it the floodplain of the Connecticut River when it floods in the spring? And where all that water goes? The lower parts of South Glastonbury and then down south towards the river. Those are all farmland. Those are all tributaries that feed into the watersheds. And we can go on and on about this. Now you're talking wells.
And that flooding can happen at any time, even immediately after the water is treated with Diquat.
And the other thing is, I don't know, I can't speak to it other than give an opinion. All the rivers in the country, I would think there's at least one that it had the same exact problem to some degree in New England somewhere where it was treated naturally or in some other way, either harvesting or aeration, whatever. And one little thing about the Connecticut River. The only reason that river is pristine from Middletown down is because large ships could not get up because of the sandbars. And there was a big push in the 60s, all through the 70s, to keep the watershed in the Connecticut River from Middletown down clean. And I've got to give credit to the politicians who did that because they did an excellent job. They even considered how they built Route 9 originally, how Route 9 went in, based on the watersheds all through that area. I don't know if you're familiar with it, the nuclear plant down there in East Haddam, et cetera, et cetera. So to me, again, it's only an opinion. To me, having to treat it with a chemical, when I believe there's all kinds of other ways it can be treated, to me just sounds like that might be the easier way out.
Yeah, we might get, like I said, I think cooler heads are going to prevail here. Now that people know, they'll put a stop to it. The EPA, if we put something that sort of halts them or gets to sort of put a blockade on it, and I mean that like legitimately, I don't mean like people standing in front of the Army Corps of Engineers, but we get somebody to halt that and sort of investigate this further, at least locally, get legislators on board, we can put a stop to that and have someone saying, let's weigh out our options and see other ways that we can do this. Thank you, Jim. I appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Have a good holiday.
You got it, man. You too. We'll come back with headlines as well. And plus, I will there was something that I needed to share with you. I totally forgot what it was. That's okay. It's I got plenty of news and plenty of views. Also, coming up in headlines, I got a great story about the lottery. So stay tuned for that. It's Reese on the radio on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Wait a minute. Hold it. 100 candles on the cake? How are you going to blow those out? Imagine what kind of a mess you're going to make of the frosting.
We're back. It's Reese on the radio. We'll get to headlines in a second. But White Mike was talking about how they have these boats that are designed to go into the water and pretty much harvest this hydrilla. So I did some quick searching online, and I came up with it. If you want to see it, you got to go to resetradio.com. Not now, but you can go back and just mark it. This is about 3:38, so we're about an hour and 40 minutes into the show. The first one I'm going to show you is what's called the We Do Aqua Harvester. It's a yellow little sort of boat that sits on there. And those of you who are watching online, you can see it. But that little boat, two men can stand on it, and it's got a conveyor belt on the front that actually moves the weeds up on the belt, and then two guys just grab it and harvest it and put it in a sort of a bin. You could get a couple of these, and that would be the job. Now, that being said, I did find something else. And what Mike said, if you heard him, he said that the boats are very expensive. Well, it turns out they are for sale. I went to a website called Weeders Digest. It's a real website. Like Reader's Digest, it's called Weeders Digest. It says Lake and Pond, the Lake and Pond Experts. And they have what's called an eco harvester, an aquatic weed harvester. This is what it looks like for those of you who can see it. An aquatic weed harvester. It looks a little clunky, but it also has the same conveyor belt with a bin in the back of it. It's almost similar to like a, what's the heck of naming that? It looks like a dump truck, but it's weird. It's aquatic. But it gathers the weeds and it puts it in there. Now, hear me out. One of these, according to Weeders Digest, this eco harvester is listed at $104,999. Just one. Now, I don't know if you can buy them in bulk, but all things considered, I think that the state can afford at least two of them. They are paid. The Army Corps of Engineers is probably, the country is paying millions of dollars on this project with the Army Corps of Engineers. It's the Army. It's the government. They're probably paying a crap load of money. Don says that it is a water style hay harvester. Okay, I'm not familiar with that. You clearly are. That makes sense. Said they were doing that at a private pond in Windsor. This particular device, Don? Something similar to this device? Okay, you got to let me know that. So it looks like we have a remedy here. We are not lost. And it was just as easy to look up. So again, there's an aquatic weed harvester. That's this thing. And then there's the WeDo Aqua Harvester, much smaller. I'm assuming for smaller areas. But at the low, low price of $104,000. All things considered here. Okay? It's a small price to say. Yeah, he said it's the same type, a little smaller. Okay. So, that makes sense. That makes sense. Thank you for that, Don. I appreciate you. There's always there's always a resolution. There's always a way to fix this thing. Let's get to the headlines. Which I don't have in front of me. CBS staffers are furious about what they refer to as, quote, the Trump bribe, because they have to pay out millions of dollars to the president. Rumors suggest that Bill Whitaker, the guy who did the infamous Kamala Harris interview where they edited it, Bill Whitaker, was brought to tears over the settlement. He cried because of the settlement. Now, I don't know why he thinks that this is some sort of crack at his credibility. It had nothing to do with him. Unless, of course, he was one of the people who commissioned the edit to keep her from sounding like a moron, then I can understand him crying. But you've got to ask yourself, when you do something and you're held accountable as a grown man, why would you cry? Bill Whitaker, if the rumors are true, why cry? Why humiliate yourself so much that Donald Trump getting the company to pay millions of dollars that doesn't come out of your pocket, you still get a paycheck, but you're so angry at Donald Trump beating your network that you cry? I can't look at you the same way anymore. These people, geez. Another disappointment. George W. Bush has joined Barack Obama. Yeah, the two of them have teamed up to do what, you say? To bash Donald Trump, of course. Both of them appear to be upset that Donald Trump is shutting down USAID. If there's ever a way to make yourself appear corrupt, George W. Bush, it's to stand by and allow USAID to exist, knowing exactly what we caught them doing with billions of dollars. Again, I never want to hear from that man again, and I feel ashamed that I ever defended him, as I did. I mean, feverishly. In the 2004 re-election campaign, boy, did I even got into an argument with Phil Donahue over George W. Bush. I beat the pants off of Phil Donahue, but I still argued for him. I'm a little ashamed right now. In more political news, a new poll out of the University of California Irvine School of Social Ecology conducted between May 27th and June 2nd of this year has found that when matched against the general Republican choice for California governor, Kamala Harris received 41% of the vote compared to the Republican choice, who gets 29%. Which will probably say that Kamala Harris is running for governor of California. Also, on a side note, 45% of Californians would vote to secede from the union if given the opportunity. Oh, the good news just keeps on coming. Oh, man, I am so elated. They get Kamala Harris, then they secede. Canada becomes the 50th state. It was just like I predicted it weeks ago. Give California to Texas. I mean, not Texas, sorry, to Mexico. Just make it. Just put the border. That's all we have to do. We'll put a border wall right up Arizona. Bring it up to Nevada. You know? Oregon will be cut. It'll be perfect. Oregon, if you want to join too, that's fine. I'd rather take one star off the flag than add it. You know what I mean? If Oregon wants to get down, you know, they get a little weird up there. So, yeah. So, congratulations, California. It's quite possible that, you know, you guys will get Kamala. Then you can find out what it would have been like if she were president of the United States. Right? She's got the fifth largest economy in the world. She'll be in charge of that. Can't wait to see what she does with that economy. Let's see if she starts giving out houses. Can't wait. Like Oprah. Last but not least, folks, the name James Farthing, if I'm pronouncing that right, it's like Farthing. James Farthing is a name that you will not soon forget when it comes to the lottery and the next time that you play it. On April 28th of this year, James Farthing won $167.3 million in the lotto. But the interesting story about that is that after he purchased the winning ticket at a convenience store in Georgetown, Kentucky, at a home that he shares with his 77-year-old mother named Linda Grizzle, he went to celebrate. And I don't know where he went. I think he went to Palm Springs. I think he went with his mother to go celebrate his $167 million jackpot win. But James Farthing was on parole. And after further investigation, it turns out that James Farthing has been in and out of jail forever. Forever. He has a 16-page rap sheet that spans 35 years. This guy is a career criminal. He has been categorized as a persistent felony offender by the Kentucky law enforcement. According to court records, Farthing has done everything from strangle his girlfriend, sold cocaine to an undercover police informant, escaped from a prison work detail, bribed a corrections officer to deliver Xanax and oxycodone into state facilities, possessed stolen firearms, and even involved his mother in a marijuana smuggling plot in which they were both indicted. This guy paid $2 and won $167.3 $6.3 million on the lotto. I have to play every day. How in the hell is this happening? How is this happening? I couldn't believe it. I was like, how is this possible? But yeah, and then he went to go celebrate, but he didn't contact his parole officer, so he got arrested again, even after he won. He actually went to go celebrate, but failed to inform his parole officer. That's just insistent on breaking the law. 860-522-WTIC. Let's go to commentary. How are you, sir?
What up, Reese? I was going to say that I hope California does secede from the U.S. and that we send in our boys over there to overthrow their government and institute a regime change. And we'll get California back clean as a whistle.
What? Wait a minute. So,
I dare you to secede.
So you're going to tell you, so you're going to sit up here and tell me that we'll let them secede from the Union and then invade them.
Yes, and overthrow the government, regime change. We're coming. Coming to get the kale, California. We're coming to get the kale.
Coming to get the
soy
kale.
Milk. We want it all.
Hey, I want the almonds. Do you know they spent 90% of their water supply goes to, out of all agriculture, 90% of it goes to almonds?
Can you believe that? Well, no wonder one damn almond's $14. Okay, you get a handful of almonds for $14. Makes sense. And Gavin Newsom. That's all I really had. I was listening to you talk about California seceding, and I'm driving through New Mexico, and my mind started to wander, and I was like, heck, let them do it. I'll reenlist.
Actually, that's a great plan. I'm not going to lie. That's the way to get California back. Get it into rightful hands. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate you. That would be a great idea. Get our hands on that state again. Correct the deal. Let them secede. We'll take a break. We'll come back. More news, more views. And don't forget, we've got Senator Stephen Harding coming up at about 4:11 in a bit to talk about this DQOT. A problem in our waterways when we return. It's Reese on the Radio on WTIC News Talk 1080.
It's Reese on the Radio. Ask your doctor if common sense is right for you. Right for you. On News Talk 1080, WTIC.
I meant to tell you guys, I was absolutely stunned at the results of the Diddy trial. I was completely stunned by that. Not that it made a lot of sense at all, but I was stunned at how it turned out. And I'll find the audio that, oh, goodness gracious. Why would that happen here? I apologize. There we go again. Somebody screwing with my screen. I knew that somebody would absolutely do that. My bad. I need to stop keeping that stupid app up because it happens every time. Anyway, forgive me. I was surprised because I thought with the inability to find him guilty or split decision on the most heinous of the charges, to actually then come back with split on the other four. Because I, as you heard, I said, he's got to be guilty on the other four. But it only turns out that he was guilty on two, and it was to the simple thing of prostitution, which, of course, was easy to prove anyway. But I thought it was odd. But in Negro nonsense today, I have something else I need to address that was related to all of that. So make sure you tune in for that. Let's get Ralph real quick in here. He's on hold. How you doing, sir?
Doing wonderful. I have a question for you. All that money with aid, how can they spend that kind of money and nobody knows where it goes?
What did you say? All of that money and nobody knows where what goes?
Where the money goes, the bottom line. Who ended up with the money and how much?
I don't know.
It's like I've got a secret. And that in my mind, and maybe most people's mind, they're stealing it. They're taking care of their friends. They're filling their pockets. If we checked all their closets, I don't know how much money and gold bars we'd find in all these senators. But I think it's something that is a good thing that they eliminated. But, Reese, I want to just say something about I was at a We Have an Air show down here.
Okay.
And the South Carolina State Police and the local sheriff's department were advertising. You know, they're trying to get recruits.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what surprised me? South Carolina State Police. If they get an officer from out of state who's fully trained and been doing it for years, they start around $70,000 a year.
Huh. Really?
And I couldn't. Yeah, I was talking to the two state troopers who were doing the recruiting. They said, yeah, we get people who are fully trained and been doing this for years. Their starting salaries are around $70,000. And when I heard that, I was kind of surprised. But just for any police officer up in the Northeast who's listening, maybe if you want to get away, that's just something to look at.
That's definitely, that is a lure without a doubt. Thank you, Ralph. Let's get our first check of the weather and traffic, which is probably going to be insane out there because I know they've got some weather conditions coming up. Let's get to Jason Catarina and Mark Christopher, who's got your pre-weather or pre-holiday weather and traffic. What's going on, Mark?